Thank you for taking your time today to attend my session. Today we are going to talk about how we built Outlook add-in for mobile and desktop and web inside Outlook. So, and I guess this is why they invited us here. So let's start with who we are. My name is Sergey Shvets, and I am a director of product for Nimble. And I was in charge of every Microsoft and Nimble integration that we've done. And I was leading this project of doing Microsoft Outlook add-ins that you can see right here. So our promise as Nimble, we want to change how people work in the CRM. Because currently, people are forced to enter data in the CRM. They use it all day and then manager report on them. But we want to bring relationship back to the CRM, and we want to remove the data entry. One of the biggest points of data entry in the for the CRM, like you enter data and then it becomes stale and it's not working anymore. So we do automatic data bring, and then people work not in the CRM, they work in the Outlook, and they work in the tools, the business tools that they use. So we work inside the system where customers work. So we try to integrate to the every place where people work in their regular business day. So add-in is one of the things that we built for Microsoft, and we also tightly integrate with a lot of different other Microsoft teams, for example. We have an Edge extension, and we work with multiple other Skype, Teams, Edge, Dynamics, and we work there. So I'll do a quick demo of what are we doing. So you have, so how do I switch it? Let me stop that for a second. All right, so this is a desktop Outlook, and you can see that we got an email here. So it's really quick. We can bring our Nimble widget on the side, and then just click into the person. You see, we only got email there, and now we got all of these cool profiles and everything just in a matter of a tap. So we can go and see it right there. And then it works across almost every platform. So this is Outlook Mobile right there. So if I go here, I select Nimble Contacts, and it works right there. Internet is not fast, but we're getting there. Right here, so we go to the record, and it's almost the same look and feel right there. And of course, it works for Outlook Web App. So right here, we go, we got this record. Really easy, really nice, and you get a lot of information. When you become a Nimble customer, other than you having some social data, phone and email number, location for the guy, you're also getting a lot of like social stream events. Like for example, we can go and quickly check what this guy is saying in his social networks and learn something about this person and find some common connection points in order to get like talk together. Find something to talk and start your work connection and relationship. So, So before we go into tech stuff on how we built it, let's start with what actually makes the integration great. So I want to say that, always love to say that 1 + 1 = 3 for the integration. So it's important that your integration removes the walls and barriers. And I say 1 + 1 = 3 because like this. So you think what people love, Microsoft thinks what people love, and if you they actually love it, it will be the integration. So the integration gives you a new dimension. Like it allows you to bring make the data flow easier for user. It doesn't require him any extra work, extra anything. It must be really easy for the customer to understand, get the use case, and fulfill his existing use case. So if he's reading email, you shouldn't drag him somewhere over. You shouldn't go and do something like, I don't know, show him some other pictures and distract him from reading his email. So you need to complement, like, in our use case, whenever he reads an email, we give him an information, we allow him to create a quick note, quick something, like task event, and then he's done and he goes back to the email and responds. So to deliver on our promise for working everywhere customer work, we use a lot of different ways to extend different platforms. So one of the platforms that like we use browser extensions, we hack DOM for something, for example, like Gmail. And for the like Outlook, they went with Outlook native add-ins. And they are really, really great because it's predictable for user, it's predictable for developer. We have a clear API on how to go and how to develop and code that extensions. And then Microsoft team does a great job of distributing this extension for you. So you just write a little code and it's distributed to the web, to the desktop, to the mobile. It's really easy. So we are getting to the tech stuff, but before we go, so I want to reiterate the three really important parts. So you never steal customer from whatever he is doing. So you go with his use case and you help him to complete it and make it better. So you never interrupt his workflow and you make it really simple. So he doesn't, customer doesn't need to learn something new, doesn't need to work like some, make an extra effort to work with your integration. This is really important, and when you will read and build your own extension, you will see this from the Microsoft and guidelines. It will be everywhere in their guidelines, and we work really close with them to really do this. So on this note, we'll jump to the technical stuff, and this is actually how Microsoft built it. So you have some Office 365 platform. It might be Outlook, Excel, Word, something like this. Then you have Office Store where your manifest resides, and then they allow you to build an iframe, which is your application. They don't interrupt with that. But in order to get a context of where you are, you have this Office JS library with an API, it's well documented. Manifest controls all the versions of it. And there you like have this Office JS API, and you can grab, like, for in our use case, we grab sender, email, and name of this like CC, BCC. We can get a body of the message and like context of where we are saying. And then like this is the way they design it. So you have a Office desktop part and Office mobile part, so, where you have a manifest where it describes the links where to load this iframe from. So we made a couple tweaks for the to this architecture, and we changed it in a way where we abstracted this Office JS component through our adapter JS, as we call it. So what we do there, we translate all the data structures that are coming from the Office part to the data structures that we work with. And this helps us encapsulate our desktop and mobile pieces together. So this is like the same code. We don't have two different adapters. We don't copy this code, and we don't in the place where we can break something. So then the next thing that we've done, we put this desktop and mobile into separate iframes. So basically, now we have two-level iframes. So first one is loading iframes that our manifest is loads. We have adapter and Office JS connected, and then our iframe, and it really helps us encapsulate all the different nuances that we have inside our app. It helps us with testing, debugging, and caching, which is really more important. So we also, what we made one responsive client for Outlook desktop and Outlook mobile. And then doing all of this, we were able to use caches. So basically, this adapter JS is our dispatcher, so whenever we never cache it, and it's like really small, it loads fast, and this is our client, which is pretty big and bulky, and we cache it forever. We provide the hash for our code, and we cache it forever on the client, Microsoft is really good. They respect every cache headers, and you just make it really easy for us to load. We have probably around a megabyte of a code for our extension, and you've seen it was even not on the best internet loaded pretty fast. So after you've gone through this initial setup, your manifest, getting back, the manifest is just, it's well documented inside Microsoft Docs for the add-in, and it will just pretty simple to write it up, and it will just point to your endpoints to load your iframe, and from there things can go. So as soon as you go to this iframe, you need to somehow authorize the user, and Microsoft give you a lot of tools to do that. So of course, preferred way for Microsoft customers is to just deliver this, use Microsoft Azure SSO to Active Directory flow to register login customers with his credentials. If you don't have that way, you don't support it, or it's complicated for you, just go with a simple login form. Just go there and make sure you have a persistent token, because customers will load this extension quite often, and you have to make sure they don't go through the login procedures every time, because especially on mobile, it takes too much time to type all of this in. Important use case that we got rejected from the review process, that our customer inside Outlook can have more than one inbox, and they want to make sure that if customer wants to have a separate account in your system for every inbox, then you need to support this use case. So for every custom like context, from the context you'll get email, IMAP email of the customer, and then from there you can just easily select it and use that to dispatch your correct token for application. So another thing that I recommend, and you can see this GIF, so we allowed customers to really make a simple test experience and deliver some value with freemium offering. So we just give them a way to go and get some part of the data and get a taste of application before they actually do something and learn about our platform, and they get this habit of profiling people and then upgrade to our main platform. So next part of our story of add-in is our design. So this is on the right, is before we got to this program with mobile. It was pretty clunky UI with a lot of controls and never really suited for the touch interfaces. And then we had to move up to this new story, and we work very closely with the Microsoft team to get design and everything ready. So this is a view constraints that we put out for ourselves. So we had to support desktop, iPhone, iPad, and then when this will be released for Android, there will be much more big other screen sizes. So we did this very simple. We decided to go with responsive design that supports touch and pointer interface. And then Microsoft team provided with their add-in guidelines that now is you can find on that link. And make sure to read this really carefully, because they have a lot of very good advices and a couple of additional problems from our side was this, it must load fast and it must be focused on very few tasks. So we made a critical review of our application there. We throw out a lot of functionality, which led to the much better experience for the user and much faster load times. So to fulfill all of these constraints, when we started to search for solution, like because we had to redo our UI basically from the point zero, and we were able to find a pretty good framework 7 that now is recommended in Microsoft guidelines after we implemented it. It's very good, and has anybody heard about this framework or used it before? So the best advantages of this framework is that it implements most of the iOS and Android native components, so you don't really need to think about transitions, how your screens will be flying around. It's MIT licensed, so you can just use it for whatever you want. And has a lot of nitty stuff for like fast clicks, long taps, and all of these gestures implemented from scratch. And the very best part that was important for us is that you can only use it for the view part and then use your whatever framework you use currently or whatever library you use, Angular, to do all your business logic. So we decided to have a really decoupled user architecture where we have the one controller that is kicks in all the work at the root point, and we have a views that a customer can see. And we designed in a way like if you're familiar with iOS stack and navigation stack. So basically, you have a view, and then view transitions to the other views, and you don't have all of these dependencies between them. So basically, it's just this root point, so it knows about what are the first screen, login screen, your listing, and whatever first screen you have, and then listing knows how to transition to the contacts, and then contacts know how to transition to the social screens, and so on, and so on, and so on. So I'll go and talk about a little bit about how we actually implemented it. So we use Backbone framework for us internally. So examples will be similar to that, but I tried to make the code really simple. And I'll point to the most important part that helped us build this architecture that I showed. So the view is like super simple. The two important parts here, so this is this transitions object. And transitions objects, the first key in the transitions object is a name of inline page that you want to show. And we'll get to that in a couple minutes, seconds. And then this is a function that will handle that transition. For this transition, this only requirement for the function is to return a new view from the function. And another important part is that whatever you use for rendering your view must be clean and be ready to be called many times for the transitions back and forth. If customers stop or like try to cancel or drag something, you must to like in order to get this smooth animation similar to what the native views has, you need to be able to do this quickly. And transition function is basically gets standard. So we will hook to the framework 7 events. And it gets like app and page. So app is the instance of this framework 7 that allows you to do a lot of stuff like navigations and allows you to trigger transitions and like listen. So there is quite a lot of things that it allows to do. And page, this is a parameters for you, this particular page that you transfer to. So there you can pass a container ID where you want to embed this page. And there you can pass like some params, like for example, contact ID or even like objects if you want. So it makes really simple for you to reason about this code. So to join this all together, we built a view stack. So view stack is basically just a stack that whatever this transition function is returning, it will just keep a pointer to it in this simple array. And then we have this page transition global function that transitions every page on the screen. So for every transition in the mobile form factor, you'll have pretty simple situation. It will be either a new screen that customer hasn't seen before, or it will be a transition back where you have to remove this screen that was on top of the stack, and you need to like show previous screen. So there is a different events that I'll talk about. So, but we have a reinit event, which is a back transition. So there you just like remove the last view and then re-render previous view. And this is just a function that allows you to, like you just go through this view stack whenever we need to find the transition function that's responsible for this particular transition. So we had type and page of transition, and we go through this view stack, and by this key that I was mentioning on the previous slide, we find the right function to transition to. And the main beauty of this, so if, for example, you have a contact screen that is maybe on the first level, on the third level, and there is a deep link where it leads to the contact screen as well, then it's just very easy to do. It's the closest view to the top of the stack will respond to this transition and you have all the data to perform it and complete the transition. And then with all of this infrastructure need to be somehow connected. So Framework has a constructor where you hook up to all of this on page before init, on page where init, and it's pretty well documented on this page's inline page. So there is a lot of different events for the transitions. And at that time, you can just hook up and do whatever you need with that view. So and this is how the just HTML looks like. So you just have a bunch of empty divs with the name of the pages. And Framework 7 takes care of all that like triggering events. And it's very easy to just start the transition. You can do this either from the JavaScript code, or you can just build a link with a special hash sign before the link. And then whenever Framework 7 user clicks on that link, it will issue a transition, send you an event, and you can hook up and do all of that. So this is how we structure this framework. It works really great. It allows us to scale, and we don't break much things there. Before, last but not least, I want to give you a couple tips of the debug and testing. The problem with here will be that you can't really hook up any developer tools to inside Outlook Mobile, so you'll have to test using Chrome browser or using the developer tools in the mobile view for the Chrome browser. So there were that iframes that we put around in the first place comes handy because we just have the same input for everything, and it allows us to I just quickly show you how it looked like. So we built this kind of interface where we just supply some parameters, and we can really easily put whatever names and emails we need for our and any extra data that we need. And then it just easily works. You can bring up developer tools. You can enable a mobile view. And we never had any issues that it's not a real mobile platform testing. And then another very important part of the debug and testing tips that you will have some unexpected errors or something, some empty data coming, happens sometimes. So make sure you implement unexpected error handler and pre-format message for the customer so he can send you the input data and you can easily replicate using this sandbox. So getting back. So what we've learned, we used freemium conversion, and it got us with freemium model, we got a pretty good conversion rates. So please consider doing this. And if you heard this app source team, they make a test drive, which is pretty similar to what we are doing with this freemium model. So our thoughts compared. And yeah, what I've told, we got a pretty good architecture. We were able to extend and write this application in less than a month. And it still works. We never had any major issues with it. Thank you for your attention, and I'll be around here if you have any questions, and you can find us at our booth down the aisle if you have any questions tomorrow or tonight. Thank you for your attention.